Welcome, everybody, to the Four Outdoorsmen. You know, we've been doing this for about 7 years. As a matter of fact, Mark, you might not remember this. I know you don't. And Brandon doesn't for sure. And Sam doesn't because Sam's a rookie in this game. We started our show on October 12th, 2014.
How do you remember that?
I went to Hamline University.
Oh.
And I'm a smart young man.
Did you have it written down somewhere?
No, but I knew it was in October. And I knew it was one of the first 2 weeks of 2014. I went back and looked at, because when we started the show in 2014, we were on Wednesdays.
Yeah, and it was 2 hours.
Yeah. Wow, how did we do that?
That was a lot of work.
And so I went back and looked at the second Wednesday in October, and it was October 12th, 2014. So we've been big shots since 2014. That's a kind of a cool trivia
well,
thing.
Let's throw it back.
Absolutely.
Should we talk about how I hired you and everything?
What, are you afraid we got nothing else to talk about?
No, I think it's fun.
It is kind of fun.
Yeah. To walk down memory lane.
It is. You know, in 7 years, I think 7 years for any radio show is a pretty good
yeah,
run.
It's pretty a good run.
And as a matter of fact, honest to God, you know, we love what we do. We have a lot of fun. And sometimes it doesn't feel like a job. That's as long as it doesn't feel like a job, I'm here. But if it gets to the point where I feel like I'm obligated, I've got to get there every Sunday. And you know, it's we all someone's going to bail out eventually. I don't know who it's going to be.
We couldn't do it without you, Stru.
Well, every day's a gift. I'm a super Stru. They call me Super Stru. We can talk about that. Anyway, yeah. Sam's not here. Sam's family's sick, and Sam is being a smart young man and staying away from us, and that's good because, just take care of yourself,
you
Sam.
You just had surgery. I can't walk around. I have a terrible immune system.
So. The whole four outdoorsmen just all banged up
We
right
are
now.
Banged up. You should have seen us hobbling around at Landcastle last
week. And
weekend.
The fair.
Yeah, that me was mostly.
The fair was fun, that picture that you sent. You guys out trolling for chicks with your walker. And
Yeah. I told Mark he should have made it into it. Made a walker that looks like a baby carriage, you know, so all these chicks come up and want to see the baby, you know. And
I could have done it better. I just borrowed my mom's walker from after she had surgery. So it was a straight-up older person walker, and it didn't even look cool. I should have gotten four wheels on it or something.
But it was fun at the fair, but I am definitely happy to be home back here at the Bob FM studios.
Yeah. It's a little more comfortable. Yeah, it is. It doesn't feel like there's any pressure here because we're just here BS and having a good time.
Right.
Let me talk about the guests first, and we'll talk about how the show started. But we have a couple of great guests tonight. I call it Kids Day, like it's Kids Day at the State Fair. Mason Rudolph, I think his name is. Hopefully I'm right there, young man. But he's a kid from the metro area, and he likes to spearfish. And we've never done it before. And he was out at one of our sponsors, Devil's Lake, North Dakota, and spearfished with a couple of guys out there last winter, spring, and did fine. But we're going to talk spearfishing with Mason Rudolph. Go ahead, Mark.
No, I have spearfished.
Oh, you did. You sat there in a hole and looked at
That's
at
what spearfishing is.
But you didn't spearfish.
Yeah, I did. I speared a fish.
Did you really?
Yeah. But it was not the size of the fish that I saw on the pictures you sent.
Well, Mason, we don't need you anymore tonight. So, no, because Mark's... No. Stick by your phone, Mason, because we're going to have you on, of course. And I forgot about that. Well, this gets the real deal.
I only did it once, and I'm certainly not the real deal. So I would love, hear about the experience. Devil's Lake has got to be an awesome place to do that.
I would think so.
With so many big pike around, if you can find them.
And I would imagine there's not a whole lot of competition spearfishing as compared to any other kind of angling in the state.
And no one targets northerns there, so they're probably happy when people harvest them.
I suppose, yeah. And then we got a kid named Nico Losinski. He's got a YouTube site called Metro Fishing. He's from the Twin Cities as well. He's a Simley High School kid, and I've got a couple of stories about him that he doesn't know that I know.
Uh-oh.
And yeah, so Nico, just get ready, pal. I'm going to make fun of you. I got some great stories about you.
It's a cool channel. Once you sent it to me, I checked it out. He goes on some cool trips. He's a young guy. I saw one recently where he did topwater fishing for muskies in Wisconsin, so he's out there getting it.
These young kids got to take us fishing, man.
They do, yeah. They know what they're doing, and we've been doing this for a long time.
No, I'm just a BSer. I'm the biggest BSer in radio because I don't do any of that stuff.
Said it was with Metro Fishing, was at first I'm like, was it in the Metro, or is he wearing skinny jeans and drinking a cappuccino?
I don't know. Anyway. All right, tell the story how we started this show 7 years ago because we got time.
Yeah, for our 7-year anniversary. Well, we can talk briefly about that. It'd be kind of fun. So at the time, I was working for Cumulus Media. You're not supposed to mention other radio stations when you're on a radio station, by the way. It's like an unwritten rule.
Really?
But I'm gonna. I worked for Cumulus, and they owned 93X and KQRS and Love 105. Love 105 was kind of, middle-aged women music, good stuff.
I was just going to tell you how much I love that station.
I did too, actually.
Okay,
I really did.
Yeah.
But so we changed it to the Ticket 105, which was a sports station. They piped in Jim Rome and stuff, and you know, it was doing okay. It ratings were never that great, but anyway, I was, as an outdoor lover, I was not at Ron Scherer's yet, but I did love the outdoors. I kind of talked the bosses, and this is pretty amazing and probably doesn't happen anymore. I talked the bosses into letting me start a radio show, and I was a sales guy.
Yeah.
Never been on air in my life. Didn't know anything about it, but luckily I talked Brian Zepp, who's a seasoned pro, into kind of, if it wasn't for him, I never would have gotten on
air. Oh, yeah, you would have been scared bumpless.
Well,
you know,
I still am. Yeah. I'm terrible on air compared to you pros, but they convinced me. And one of our first sponsors was a friend of yours.
Right.
And basically, I was looking for hosts, and Boomer was one of them. I met him in a coffee shop, and I'm like, well, this guy can talk. So, and then one of our first sponsors said, you have to hire this guy. I never talked to you.
Right.
I never met you.
Right.
I had no idea who you were. And I hired you sight unseen because of money.
Well, no, because at that time, we weren't even getting paid. You know, because they said, you want to work in this radio station? You told my buddy, you said, listen, we need another co-host on the radio show here, and you can pick anybody you want. You're going to be sponsoring the show, whatever, but let them know that we're not going to pay them. So if you know somebody likes the outdoors, and my buddy Jim says, I know the guy. And he's hunted up in Ely, Minnesota with me many, many times. We fished, we golfed, we've done things many, many times. He was in real estate with me for many years as well.
And he never paid his bill, so I want my money back.
So anyway, but you got me instead.
I got you instead. You got me instead. All I got was a T-shirt.
So anyway, before you guys, I got hired. Brian Zepp had to be okay with it because Brian Zepp was, he's probably number two radio host in the entire state of Minnesota. He could be very well, but anyway, and one of the top two or three anyway. And so he came over to our house, which was nice. And Diana made him some dinner. We cooked outside and had a few cocktails in the patio. And after about 20 minutes of BSing with Brian Zepp, he says, yeah, you can do this. And we jumped in with both feet and had a lot of fun. I found my way like everybody else, and it's been a lot of fun. And here I am 7 years later still. But I'm getting paid something these days. And we're getting gigs once in a while as well. Unfortunately, our buddy Brian, who I love dearly, and is one of the biggest things about me meeting being on the show is meeting you and Brian, obviously. And Brian got smart, went to Bozeman, Montana, because he loves to hunt, loves to fish, and loves ladies. And there's all three in Bozeman, Montana.
Yes, that and much more.
But it's been fun. Fun ride.
It has been fun. So after a while, the Ticket turned into a hip-hop station.
Yeah.
And I guess hip-hop and outdoors did not jive. So we went straight to podcasts for a while and then finally found our home here at Bob. But
it's a perfect
fit. It's been a long ride.
It's perfect fit because Bob, of course, is country music, and it's no bro stuff. It's the old stuff, the mellow stuff, which is the kind of music that I like anyway. And it's our listeners are the same ones that Bob has 24 hours a day, and our show is on at 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock every Sunday night. And who's coming home from the cabin? People fishing and hunting. And so we have a lot of listeners from Rochester.
Man, I'm sold on it. I'd listen.
Rochester all the way to Alexandria. So we've covered two-thirds of the state. And if you love the outdoors, like BSing, and you love to hear me lie about how successful I am in angling and hunting, boy, you came to the right show. It's a lot of fun.
Well, as you know, we don't know that much about anything, but we like to meet people and interview people. Yeah. And we met a lot of cool people at Landcastle Summerfest this weekend.
It was fun, yeah.
Let's go through that whole deal and talk about the events, what we saw, and what we noticed, really.
You know, Brandon Gatz, the young man who started this Landcastle Summer Extravaganza.
I love him. I think they need a new name. I'm going to talk to him about it.
I think they need to
stay. It's kind of hard to swallow.
Yeah, they got to stay sponsoring on our show as well. But it is a little difficult. But anyway, what's cool about it, he's about 5 years ago, he started getting people who had ice castles and whatnot. Let's camp on my property, my grandparents' property, someplace out in Winstead, and let's have a good time and talk about ice fishing and get ready for ice fishing. All of a sudden, there's three, there's five, there's 10, there's 20 to 30. Ice houses, ice castles, and whatever else is out there, big, small, doesn't make any difference. And he had about 140 campers this weekend and a lot of vendors out there. I mean, everything from, you know, tip-ups and all kinds of things and fish houses and whatnot, all kinds of vendors, a lot of food, great music, and it was just a wonderful time.
Speaking of vendors, fishing and ice fishing in general, it absolutely amazes me how if there's a minute problem, someone will invent something to fix that problem.
Absolutely.
Like there was a guy with roll up sleeves to cover your holes, right? Because every hole isn't the same length as far as ice pack, you know, when you go down.
Right.
So instead of having a hard one that lifts up when you park, have a roll-up one that adjusts it. You know, just little things like that. I think it's because in fishing, you're sitting around so much. And if you have a little problem that bugs you, you're like, how can I fix that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like of course, Mr. Gatz, Bill Gatz, doing the Katz covers, and we'll talk about that sometime when he sponsors our show again in a couple of months or whatever.
Oh, but, he will.
You know, I was an entrepreneur as a kid myself, Brandon, and I was always tinkering and figuring out things, and I was pretty good at it.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to do this for my life. And then I saw the movie The Jerk, and I saw how Steve Martin got screwed. Remember that movie, Brandon?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's funnier than heck when he invented the OptiGrab. Remember that? It was the
glasses that don't have the earpieces or whatever?
Yeah,
or
but no, because people are always taking their glasses off and they're getting their lenses dirty and all that kind of stuff. He invented the OptiGrab, which is a little handle right on the middle of the nose. And he became a multi-millionaire until everybody in the world who bought them became cross-eyed. Remember that? And he got sued, lost his entire – it was hilarious.
I just remember the shooting at him and hitting the oil cans and stuff. It's like the scene that sticks out to me.
No, if you haven't seen The Jerk –
and his adopted family.
Yeah, that was great.
If you haven't seen The Jerk, it's only about 50 years old, and I was talking about those moments, but it's really, really funny. And Bernadette Peters was hot.
Oh, and I love that song, the Tonight You Belong to Me. They do the little duet, him on the mandolin. She busts a trumpet out of nowhere on the beach.
Funnier than heck, but yeah.
Classic.
Lancaster was it's a big, big deal. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. It's a great event.
It will. And the vendors were great. It's a community. It's everyone seemed to know each other, but it was still open. People are willing to accept new people into the group. We met so many people, including some listeners. I believe you have a recording of them.
I do, yeah.
Well,
do
I know my play, Uncle Kevin had a great time.
Yeah, we met your Uncle Kevin.
I met Brandon's Uncle Kevin. He's awesome. He says, are you Strews? Yeah, that's me. He said, well, Brandon Bastrom is my nephew. And he said some very, very nice things about you.
Well, he messaged me after and said a lot of nice things about you.
Well, let's go out and get drunk tonight, Brandon. Let's talk in a bit. But he's a very nice man. Go ahead.
I do feel bad. So Jake Nelson went and played Friday, and he was phenomenal. Yep. He was absolutely knocked out of the park.
That's my boy.
I'm sure they're going to be back. But anyway, Stu had the honor of going up and introducing Jake, telling our story. Just a really cool thing, right?
A couple of jokes,
and they were doing rim shots. Anyway, I knew that this is something that Stu would want me to record.
Absolutely.
And I have a brand new camera, so wow, it's got a great video. So I hobble my butt up there in my walker, get all set up, got the perfect angle. He does this wonderful speech, just absolutely wonderful. I want him to speak at my funeral. It was fantastic.
I'll have to tape it.
Comes out, and I look at my phone, and all I see is two pictures when I started and stopped. I did not have it on
just
video.
Just snapped a couple stills. Yes.
I've never been so heartbroken in my
life.
Somebody
out there has got to have a video recording of it.
Just disappointed, Dad.
Yes, he did. Hey, speaking of that.
The look in his face when I told him that, it made me want to cry.
I knew it was good, and I could use it somehow and somewhere along the line, and I've got a pretty big ego.
But you know what? I listened to it.
Hey, let's do your shout-outs, pal. Got a few minutes?
All right. I have a new face ID on my phone, and that is weird because sometimes it doesn't recognize me.
Hang on a second.
Go ahead. Couple shout-outs here. Thank you, everyone, for writing. If you want to get on the radio, comment on the 4 Outdoorsmen every week. We do it every single week, and we have a group that does it all the time, and we love them very much, and thank you. Corey Bechtold says, Macula Tackle, on the boom, full report on What's Working Now Facebook page. Here's a new one. Eric Peterson, last weekend, a couple typos here. Smallies fight like hell, 8-pound fluorocarbon and jig and plastics, perch color, 12 to 20 on points. Have fun. Let the jig hit the bottom, bounce and retrieve. Slack works well this time of year. Thanks, outdoors men and women. From Eric Peterson, owner of Woods Edge Outdoors.
Yeah, tell you what, you talked about typos. It's not as bad as the typo that I did when I was... Brandon knows this, and all the guys who know me, I'm not going to say what happened, but I promoted my gorgeous wife, Diana, was 74 years old, and I Facebook, and I says, boy, Strewman, I'll kick his coverage, you know, and I did that. Well, there was a typo in there that just didn't go over very well. So
I remember that.
Yeah, I didn't do that in person. Hey, speaking of...
I have some more quick.
Go ahead.
Or do you want to go with yours?
No. I'll finish.
Next one is Jesse Koskinimi. Lots of bears coming in. I just haven't found the two I'm looking for. He must be waiting for a monster. And Bill from Cat's Cover says, just got home. Thanks again for coming out. I think that's all.
All right,
thanks,
I'll tell you what, I'm going to do this one. I met a couple when we were at Landcastle, and we were, I forget the name of the company who gave us the opportunity to spend the night in Ice Castles.
I have it here.
North something.
It is North Star Recreation. Their number is 507-323-4730. We got to stay in some wonderful ice castles. They had four on display, and we got to ruin them.
It was a lot of fun. And, check this out also, Brandon. So these ice castles, the one we had the bed that comes down automatically, you know, and then you pull it up, you got a table and all kinds of things there. And my wife and I got to bed about midnight, like you did as well, which is late for us. And we got all the lights off except the one light that is right on top of us. I mean, it was like
directly above your
face.
It
was like the sun was shining 24 hours a day. We couldn't figure it out, man. I mean, it was a long night.
And then he came the next day, and he's like, "Oh, here's the switch. It was right there."
Yeah. Anyway, so I met a couple, because they thought at first, because we're sitting in front of the ice castles that we have a couple of seconds here, and they thought we were salespersons or something. A lot of people did, because we're sitting in front of our ice castle, pretending like we know what we're doing. And they came and started asking questions, looking at the ice castles, and we started talking about your background and all that. And I met these folks here, and I thought this was really cool. This is a shout-out to these guys. Here we go.
Apologies if it doesn't get through.
We're at the Landcastle Summer Extravaganza in Winsted, and we are with...
John and Amy.
And from where?
Cocato, Minnesota.
What are you doing here, man?
Well, I heard about your show on the Four Outdoorsmen, and we thought we'd come check it out.
That's my woman. Hey, enjoy. Thanks for being here, you guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Laughing and learning on the Four Outdoors.
You didn't pay them to say that.
I didn't pay them to say that. That was really nice. As a matter of fact, they listen every once in a while when they're bumming, going from point A to point B, and we had a lot of fun, good conversation. And that was nice that they said, you know, if it wasn't for them listening to the radio show, the Four Outdoorsmen, Landcastle would have been out a couple $100, whatever it is. So and you can make a lot of money promoting yourself on the Four Outdoorsmen.
Good pitch.
And what's really cool about this couple that I saw just on... She is hot. Charlie is. Oh, by the way, now they're listening in some guy's ice castle. I'll send it to you, and you can post it, Mark, because Mark's better at this social media stuff. But they took pictures of themselves in some guy's beautiful ice castle right now. Listening to the Four Outdoorsmen radio show, and I thank you very much for doing that, guys, and hope you had a good time.
Well, I know that our listeners are cult-like.
Yeah, they are. They really are.
In the best kind of way.
You see that in the fair. Like, people just like, you are the best ever.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got to go to break. Who do we have first after break?
I think we got Mason Rudolph, I think. One of these, they'll know.
He'll know. Brandon will know.
Brandon knows.
You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen, part of Bob Outdoors.
It's no secret that we love the city of Devil's Lake, North Dakota. Not just the thrill that comes with its unbelievable hunting and fishing, but everything that Devil's Lake has to offer. You can choose from nearly 30 restaurants, many hotel and motel options, a dozen campsites, theater, golfing, hiking, nearby casino, or just plain exploring. Walleyes and jumbo perks, well, they might draw you here, but Devil's Lake itself will keep you coming back. Hey, trust through me on this one. Visit devilslakend.com.
Dezeal Heating and Air Conditioning has let the dogs out, and their two-fur deal is back. If your furnace and air conditioner are over 10 years old, they could roll over and break down. Let Dezeal help you fetch a free air conditioner with their two-fur deal. For a limited time, when you purchase a furnace, you get a free AC unit with a free UV package. Dezeal Heating and AC, serving Wright County and the West Metro. Details online at DezeelHVAC.com. That's DezeelHVAC.com.
Mark here, and soon the time will come to drop off my boat for a luxury winter spa vacation at Power Lodge. No, not mud baths and cucumbers. Expert winterization storage out of the elements for your boat, pontoon, or personal watercraft. There's still some fishing time left, but reserve your spot while there's room. Three locations ready to help you. Down the road from our studios off Highway 10 in Ramsey, Brainerd off Highway 371, and Onamia off Highway 169. Online at powerlodge.com.
Next trip to Ely, Minnesota, Arrowhead Outdoors is a must. Arrowhead Outdoors, the largest, oldest, and only bait store in Ely, Minnesota that is open to serve you all year round with a massive selection of whatever you need. Hey, go to Arrowhead Outdoors. Every day on their site is an update of live bait in stock. I'll tell you what, that is slick, that is service, that'll save you time. And Chris and Steve are experienced, knowledgeable, friendly, and really excited to help you make your vacation the very, very best. Arrowhead Outdoors, Ely, Minnesota.
Get ahead of the game and get your ATV trailer into Crystal Welding for repairs before hunting season. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove services all trailers. Crystal Welding is also your local Hinneker dealer, carrying Hinneker snowplows and winter accessories. Get your repairs scheduled now and be prepared for the season before it starts. Stop in to schedule or go to crystalwelding.com for more information.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No jobs are small because we do it all.
Get a cold water pressure washer from American Pressure for 33% off the retail price. Check out the details and specifications on DealsOnRadio.com.
Deals on Radio. Deals on Radio.
Magnum Transportation, a leader in the LTL industry, is now hiring for immediate placement of Class A local and over-the-road CDL drivers, freight handlers, office administration, and diesel mechanic positions. Magnum features a 10-week paid CDL driver training program. Magnum is a growing family-owned company that offers industry-leading pay, full benefits, health insurance, 401k, and PTO. Magnum is veteran-owned and operated, now hiring in Wilmer, St. Cloud, Duluth, Lakeville, and Coon Rapids. Go to MagnumLOG.com. To apply.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, then get ready to pay up. The IRS has giant private collection agencies actively tracking down folks who owe the IRS. So if you think dodging them was stressful in the past, it's going to get a whole lot tougher. Optima Tax Relief has this advice. Don't wait. Solve your tax problems now before it's too late. Optima Tax Relief works to stop the demand letters, stop the aggressive collection actions, and stop the IRS collectors from targeting you. Ask Optima about the Fresh Start Initiative. One of the biggest breaks the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands, and nobody knows this program better than they do. Optima is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, and they get results, having resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. Get a fresh start. Call today for your free consultation.
Call 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188. 800-574-9188.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Now, back to the Plow World Power Equipment Studios.
Total Country Bob FM.
Laughing and learning on the Four Outdoorsmen with Strewman, Mark Lukey, Brandon behind the glass. And since Sam Oftedall is not here, Mark Fisher, who just came in studio because he does a show at 7 o'clock called Real Talk Outdoors. I think Mark Fisher's got to be our fourth outdoorsman.
He's busy prepping for his show.
Oh, he's so selfish.
They have to know what to talk about in their show. We just BS the entire time.
That's right. We're pretty good at that, aren't we? Hey, I'll tell you, we got a young man on the air, do we not? Is it Mason? Who's there?
Yeah.
Mason Rudolph, right?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Welcome to the Four Outdoorsman, kid, and thanks for taking the time to do so. I know we tried to have you on two or three weeks ago or so, but you were tied up, and you're such a big shot. All these women chasing you and all that kind of good stuff. But I met Mason Rudolph and his uncle, I believe, and I believe Mason's brother. And correct me if I'm wrong. Am I right or wrong?
I can't hear you super good right now.
Okay, well, I don't know what's wrong with my phone, but we'll give it a shot. I'll try to speak more slowly because that might help you a little bit. But I met you and your uncle, I believe, and your brother, if I recall, at the Minnesota Twins game about 2 months ago. Is that correct? Yeah. And by chance, I don't even know, I like to BS with people and make them feel good and welcome to the Twins, let's have some fun. And it turned out that through the conversation, I found out that you like to hunt and fish as much as anybody. And so, of course, I say, hey, I do a co-host a radio show called The Four Outdoorsman. And we started talking about that. I met him at the Twins game, which is a lot of fun. So you never keep opening doors, man. Reach out and talk to people. That's how things happen. Mason, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, no problem. It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. Now, when I was looking up some information about you, trying to find some information about you, and I could be wrong about this, and Mark probably knows this. Isn't there a Mason Rudolph who's a quarterback for Pittsburgh, or was?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's what they say.
So when I said, yeah, I should have said, we'd have more listeners tonight, young man, if I would have said Mason Rudolph is going to, and I wouldn't say anything about how old you are. Mason Rudolph is going to be on talk about spearfishing. People thought, oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Mason, tell us about your background. Where do you live, and how old are you?
So I live in Stock Rapids, Minnesota, and... Yeah, and so I'm just a junior in high school, and I love to just hunt and fish and stuff. And, yeah, we met at the Twins game, so that was pretty cool.
Well, you're not just a junior, man. You are, I tell you what, being a junior is a big deal. Being a senior is a big deal. Growing up is a big deal. But now you love to hunt and fish. How did you end up beginning to hunt and fish, and who was your mentor when you started this game?
So pretty much my dad just got me into hunting and fishing and stuff. He's been doing it a lot of his life. And so from a young age, since whenever I could go, he's been bringing me just on hunts. We probably started deer hunting and sitting in the warm fish house and stuff, which got me into it. And then we started spearing as I got older. He would always spear, and so when I was old enough, he brought me on a couple of spear trips and really got me involved in that.
Okay, now, again, we don't know anything about spearfishing. Mark said he's done it once, but you said your dad took you along when you were old enough to start spearfishing. There's no age minimum, is there, to be a spear fisher person?
No, there's not. Just whenever, whenever you're comfortable and strong enough and, big enough, so, yeah.
Well, I'm only 5'7", 149 pounds. Can I throw one of those spears down the water? And
you can kind of drop it.
Oh, you kind of drop it?
That's kind of the key, yeah.
Kind of drop it. So now how many times have you gone spearfishing? I know you went to Devil's Lake last winter for the first time, but you've been spearfishing for quite some time then.
Yeah. I've been spearfishing since I was just old enough to go with, and just around lakes in Minnesota, and we always go on like a family trip with like my grandpa and a couple uncles and stuff up to, we'll go up to like Winnie or some lakes in Minnesota. But last year was the first time that we adventured out and went to Devil's Lake.
Okay, went to Devil's Lake, North Dakota, of course, is one of our premier sponsors. And thanks to Susie and the gang at Devil's Lake Tourism. And we like to go out there a couple of times a year as well. And we've been out there to fish a lot.
Yeah.
But we've never even considered spearfishing. I got to do it. You know, I know. Tell me, so what's the most difficult thing about spearfishing? And your family got a few nice big northerns in Devil's Lake, did you not?
Yeah, we got a couple big fish, but we got some pictures from some week before and week after when we were there. There was kind of a little bit of a cold front and storms coming in when we were there, but they spear some big fish there, and so...
Go ahead, Mark. Mark's got a question.
Hey, Mason. It's Mark here. And I, like I said, I only have spearfished once, but things that stood out to me, and you can chime in afterwards, is you cut out this. It's basically like a big screen TV. And when the water's clear, it's just an absolute panoramic view of what's going on. And that's just incredible. And you can see, other fish coming through. It's basically like just watching the ecosystem happen underwater, which is cool. But when I speared a fish, it was about a 24, 25-inch northern. And it's almost like deer hunting. Your heart just pounds through your chest when you see one lurking by, right?
Yeah.
I cannot imagine the feeling of seeing a 40-plus-inch northern come by. I mean, I think I'd be so nervous I would just have a heart attack. I don't know.
Has that ever happened to you, Mason?
No. Well, so I've seen some big fish, but I haven't speared any 40-inch fish. I think my biggest fish is like 34 around that range.
That's a big fish too.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. So the one thing about like Devil's Lake and stuff is the clarity of the water. Mm-hmm. And so when we went through a guide service, and they talked about how it's sometimes hard to find clear water to spear in because you want to be able to see the bottom, or you want to be able to at least be able to see like fish coming through and stuff.
Right.
And yeah. And so, but it's really cool sometimes when you can get that really crystal clear water and see in a big hole and you can see out ways in the water and just see everything moving around.
Macy, do you sprinkle anything can you do that to help you see better? Like, I think I've heard of people doing that before.
Sprinkle stuff on the water
to
clear the water? Really?
No, not like the water itself, but something on the bottom so you can see something pass.
Oh, I see a contrast.
I'm not even sure if that's legal or not, but I've heard of it.
You know what he's talking about, Mason, is can you throw something down the hole that's a darker color, whatever, to contrast a fish coming through? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, so sometimes, especially when it's dark, we'll put like a bigger size, even like a bigger size, like decoy down a ways in the water, kind of towards the bottom, and then have something up a little bit higher and just having like a big, like a light colored, like a big white decoy or something down can like glow up the hole. Otherwise, there are people I know of before. I'm not sure the rules or the laws on
it. We won't hold it to you. We don't either.
Shells and stuff, putting down the hole and potato stuff, that kind of stuff on the bottom.
Potato flakes, I think I heard.
Yeah, like instant mashed potatoes or something. Yep. Yeah, because
they probably don't want you dumping that in the water.
Yeah. Because all the fish out of Devil's Lake are getting cholesterol and that kind of crap. Hey, Mason, how deep are you fishing? What's the deepest you can fish? Are most of these big northerns close to the bottom, or are they suspended?
So it all depends. Down in southern Minnesota, where my dad grew up, they used to spear in some lakes where it'd be like 4 or less feet of water, which I've never speared in that shallow, but they used to on lakes that shallow. But then this last year was the deepest I speared in. It was actually in Devil's Lake, and we couldn't see the bottom, but like a week before that, in that same hole that I was spearing in, they speared a 40-inch fish, and you can't see the bottom at all. The fish comes up, and it just you see a big blur suspended out of the water coming up.
What are you guys using for decoys? It's bait, but I think it's nothing more than a decoy to draw the fish in. There's no hooks on these things, right? They're just a decoy down there. How big are they, and what do those decoys cost? Because I'm sure you never bought one, but your old man has.
Yeah, so decoys, they can be all different sizes. I have a couple really big decoys and a couple decoys that are smaller than a finger's length. And it all depends on what you want. Fish will come into pretty much anything. If you want to put a big decoy down or a little something that looks something really small. Otherwise, with hooks and stuff, there's no hooks on decoys. But a lot of times we will actually use daredevils and then take the hooks off the daredevil and flash that in the hole. And so we do that quite a bit as well.
So that makes sense because it's got some action, it's got some movement, and it might draw the fish in. Are there decoys that also have rattlers like a lot of bass fishermen use rattle traps, whatever you want to call that thing? Do they have noisemakers?
Yeah, so I have a couple decoys, and they make them where it comes with some kind of rattling system inside of it, and then there's ones that'll even have a little like metal flake flashing thing that once it like spins throughout the water, it'll flash and stuff. So yeah, the decoys are made with all kinds of different things.
Would you please describe exactly the process about, can you get into this? It has to be a dark house, right? You can't have any light showing in from the windows outside. And that way give a real good view of the water and maybe even the bottom of the lake. Describe from point A to point B when you're sitting there, you got the decoy down 3 or 4 feet. How far is the farthest you put a decoy down? And then you're sitting there with the spear in your hand, or is it sitting on a stand? What is the process?
Yeah, so, obviously it's called dark house spearing because you want to have it be as dark as you can, pretty much. That's why sometimes it can be tricky if you're trying to spear, like, out of a portable fish house or something that kind of lets light in.
Right.
But once you get insulated, that kind of stuff, you can get into darker houses. But, yeah, you want to make sure it's dark, and then for the depth of just the decoy and stuff, it all varies on, you could say, how light your hole is or how murky it is or something. You might want it up a little higher so you can see it. Sometimes we won't even have a decoy in. We'll have just like the daredevil without hooks in the water, and we can put that, you can let that go down as far as you want and bring it back up and kind of flash it as much. But yeah, we'll either hold that in our hands. Otherwise, we'll tie it on to what we call like a teaser. It's kind of like you put it up on the top of the kind of the roof of your fish house or the ceiling, and it has the line connected in, and it'll just spin. And so that daredevil will always be moving in the water.
That's really cool. I like that idea. Have you ever made any of your own decoys yet?
I haven't made any decoys, but I've definitely looked into it, and I've watched a couple people make them, and so.
I think it'd be kind of fun. Tell me what kind of fish can be speared. Is it just northerns, or are there other species?
So it's pretty much just northerns, otherwise different rough fish. Yeah, so a lot of different rough fish you can spear. Last year, we ran into, on one lake, we ran into quite a few dogfish, and so we speared quite a bit of those.
That's fun. Yeah, that's got to be fun. Last question. You can't, once you spear a 35-inch northern, you're not going to release it, right? yeah. You're not going to take a photograph and release it.
Shot duck.
Yeah, catch and release. Did you guys bring all those northerns home and pickle them or clean them? What happened after you got these fish?
Yeah, so all the fish we'll bring back. And a lot of times when we're on trips with, like, the family, the grandparents and the uncles and everybody, a lot of times we'll collect all the fish from the day, and we either have like a fish fry with everybody at night. Otherwise, we'll keep some fish to bring home with each different guy, and we'll just have it over time with family or something like that.
You know, I'll tell you what, I think the northern and cold water like that that's fresh is underrated. It's underrated. It's so good. If you decide to take Mark and me spearfishing sometime, we will gladly go, but I can guarantee you this, you're going to clean the northerns. I wouldn't have a clue how to get those bones out of there.
You can do it, pal.
You can do it.
I'd love to bring you guys sometime.
Hey, Mason Rudolph of Sauk Center, boy, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman. Keep fishing, keep hunting, and I'll tell you what, if you get a chance in the next 15, 20 minutes, listen to a young man named Nico Lisinski. He's a big-time fisherman as well. He's got his own YouTube show. We'd love to have you be a fan of the 4 Outdoorsman.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Take care, buddy, and stay outside. Enjoy the outdoors.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Nice young man. Hey, Nico. Nico Lisinski is going to be on Metro Fishing, and this is YouTube. Be right back after a couple of words from our sponsors. It's that time of the year, and Devil's Lake is the destination. I'm thinking of fall walleyes in the morning, bird hunting in the afternoon, and a ribeye steak in the evening. Devil's Lake, North Dakota just might be the premier city in the country for multi-species hunting and fishing all in the same trip. Hey, we're blessed to make a couple of trips to Devil's Lake every year. It truly is an outdoor lover's Disney World. Bring your fishing rod, bring your shotgun, bring your golf clubs, bring your family. Visit devilslakend.com. Hey, thanks to the firefighters, Ely, Minnesota is completely open. Thank God for the firefighters. Hey, with 3 million acres of public land all around Ely, the opportunities are endless. BWCA trips, grouse numbers are high, fall colors are mesmerizing, and fishing is at its best. And permits for the boundary waters are not required as of October 1st, and yes, you can hunt in the BWCA. If you don't hunt or fish, well, the little town of Ely all by itself is well worth the visit. Experience the spirit of Ely, Minnesota.
Want to enjoy the outdoors? Forget bird watching or walking around on your own 2 feet like a sucker. The best way to entertain the fam is start ripping around on a new ATV or boat with help from my friends at Power Lodge. For over 20 years, Power Lodge has sold and serviced boats, ATVs, UTVs, sleds, golf carts, and now Rambo electric bikes. Make your next outdoors experience great at Power Lodge, 3 locations in Ramsey, Brainerd, and Onamia, or online at powerlodge.com.
Hey, we're back, and thanks to everybody listening. If you don't get a chance to listen to the show live on Sundays at 6 o'clock at mybobcountry.com, you go podcast on Tuesdays, usually mid-afternoon on Tuesday. Mark gets it put
whenever
up.
Whenever I get around to it, Strew.
Whenever I keep bugging you, don't I?
I know. Yeah. I would never forget because you will not let me forget.
He won't forget. So you can listen to it and go to our website, the4outdoorsman.com. That's a number 4. Scroll down past our pretty faces and our bios, and you can pick any show you want to listen to. So
it's also on
Spotify,
Apple, everything.
I have no idea what Spotify is.
All the kids these days get their podcasts on all sorts of different places. It should be anywhere, hopefully.
Are you Snapchatting right now?
No, I don't have that one.
Oh, boy. Well, Diana's one step ahead of you because she's Snapchatting with her granddaughter.
She actually downloaded the Snapchat?
She didn't do it. Someone probably
did
it for her.
People do naughty stuff on that because it goes away after a while.
Really?
Yeah.
I better get a Snapchat.
Yeah, you should.
Nico, are you there, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
Every day's a gift, kid. Every day's a gift. Nico, your last name is Lisinski, correct?
Yeah, that's it.
L-O-S-I-N-S-K-I. My last name is Strusinski, so we should open up a law firm.
Are you his dad?
I could be his dad. So are you Polish? Is your nationality Polish?
Yeah, it is.
Yes. Do you guys ever have any Polish traditions? Because my family still does. My grandparents came from Poland, and we have all kinds of Polish traditions. Do you have any Polish traditions, like at Christmas or Easter or anything like that?
Nothing, no.
Hey, Nico, I tell you what, this is radio. You can lie like a bandit, man, and no one knows the difference. Make up stories about this is so cool. We have these special pierogies and galumpkies. Yeah. Nico Lisinski, thanks for being on the 4-Hour Outdoorsman. You have a YouTube channel called Metro Fishing, right?
I do, yeah.
Now, how did we get a hold of each other? How do you know Lynn Bonkowski?
So my grandpa, name's Ward Menz. He goes to church with her, as far as I know. That's what I know so far.
So we are the first radio station to make you a star, right?
Yep, you got it.
Yeah. Tell us, go ahead,
Mark. Charge $1 per new like you get after this show.
Yeah, we're big shots, buddy. I'll tell you what, now tell us all about your background. Now, you just graduated from high school, correct?
Yeah.
All right, let's go ahead.
I'm a senior at Simley here.
Yeah, well, you graduated in 2021. Am I right?
2022.
Oh, you're graduating next year.
This year, sorry. Yeah, 22, yeah.
22. Yeah. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I was trying to dig up some background stuff about you, and I found a Nico Lisinski, who was a swimmer, right?
Yep.
For Simley High School. And get ready to clap, you guys. If I read this properly, you won the state title last year for the 500 freestyle? Or
yeah,
5,000? So, was it 5,000? 5,000.
I'm a two-time state champion now in the 500 free, yeah.
Good for you. Good for you. That's exciting. You know what's cool about swimmers? Track people, wrestlers, it's all discipline. It's all you. You have to work your butt off, and there's nobody back there to help you out. If you make it, great, more power to you. If you don't, it's all up to you. That's a
Nico, did you
very
get
any, much so, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you get any scholarship offers anywhere?
Well, right now I'm talking to 7 Division I schools.
Ooh.
But I still got time to think.
Well,
be proud of yourself, kid. And it's just anyone, you got to be a nice kid. I don't care if you can hunt or fish. You have to be a nice kid. And listen, I was watching. There's a lot of stuff. I never knew this. My nephew swam for a couple of years for Sibley. But anyway, he's a lot older than you are by now. But I was looking up your name, and then all of a sudden, there's a whole bunch of stuff about all of his swimming events, and you swam for, of course, Simley and some kind of a long course, a senior state championship, stuff like that. And your time for the 500 free, I think, was 4:43. And you also run track and a 2,500 meter run, all kinds of. And I love it. He says, "My name is Nico Lisinski. I'm a swimmer and sort of a lacrosse player." That's what that site said. One more thing about swimming, and again, I'm really proud to know you because I have a lot of respect for you without even having to meet you. But I was watching your sectional championship, I think it was. Might have been last year. I don't know if it was a 500 or five. I think it was 500, yeah. And all of a sudden, everyone's cheering on, "Nico, go, Nico!" And you, going into the last lap, you might have been a half a length ahead, and you finished more than a body length ahead at the end, and at the you got within 25 feet of the end of the wall, and some young lady says, "Holy," and it was, well, the last three letters were HIT, you know what I'm saying? And it's their
well,
live.
About that one, I know what you're talking about. That was actually my freshman year in high school. That was the first time I won sections. So I've won it consecutively every year since then.
That's funny. And I don't know who the lady was, said, "Holy," like she couldn't believe it. And she said
that's
right.
That's my mom.
That's wonderful. But you must have a tape of that. It's obviously there, and it'll be there forever. Hey, I'll tell you what, congratulations. Let's talk about fishing. Let's talk about metro fishing, and how did you get starting as a young man being so avid with fishing?
Yeah, so I started out a lot going out fishing with my dad and grandpa. My grandpa and my dad definitely taught me everything I know about fishing. I still go out with my grandpa about every weekend. We go out to Waconia or Minnetonka. But honestly, what really got me into fishing is starting out when I was younger in like middle school and watching all these YouTube guys. Mm-hmm. I just kind of like fell in love with it, and it was so fun to watch, and I got really passionate about it, and I wanted to get a GoPro and try and do it myself. So I just decided one day, you know, all right, I want to try and do this. And I got a few friends who have YouTube channels too, and we all kind of make videos together and go out fishing and go on these ventures everywhere. So, yeah.
Well, that's fun.
It's fun.
Hey, yeah. Nico, Mark here. Thanks for joining us. And so I work in the old school videography world of outdoors TV with Minnesota Bound and stuff. And
one of his best friends, Nico, is Ron Shira.
I'm name dropping. Yeah. And anyway, what do I do all day? I watch guys like you fishing on YouTube. That's what I do. Because you're right, it is so much fun. There's so much energy, and it blows me away how quickly you guys are learning the art of, filmography or editing. Is it just because you have so much reference to learn how to do it? How did you learn how to video edit, and how do you go about filming?
So I really just kind of would take my phone, use iMovie on it, mm-hmm. and I just kind of put clips together just kind of like that. Just take, you know, I'd record one whole thing, go through, trim down to where maybe I caught a fish or something happened.
Yep.
You just kind of add it in, and I don't know, you can spice it up however you want. There's a lot of stuff you can do with it, but it's really not too complicated.
Now, you're talking about the name of your YouTube channel is Metro Fishing. Are all the videos you have put out so far, are they all within the metro area, the 7 county to the 5 county metro area?
Yep. So every single one has been in from like the Minneapolis Twin Cities area, except for like I have a few videos out in Mille Lacs, walleye fishing, and then I just have one. I have two up in northern Wisconsin, muskie fishing. But yeah, otherwise I do a lot of muskie fishing. That's basically what I do the most, and I do a lot of trout fishing too. But all of those big muskies that I'm catch are caught in like the Minneapolis chain lakes or just lakes around in the metro.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So now you're getting into the prime muskie season. You must be getting excited about that. I did watch your one video about topwaters. What is it like fishing for muskie in topwaters? I've obviously fished for northerns, and it's a lot of fun. What is it like, and how do you fish for muskies topwater?
Yeah, so I was actually just out last night on this lake, and it's kind of like right as the sun comes up, yeah. Right as the sun's coming down, right as it's kind of low light hours, there's no wind, it's calm, is basically the prime time to throw topwater. For muskies, I like to throw something called a fat bastard. It's just a big whopper plopper, or on like smaller metro lakes, I'll throw something called a Dr. Evil. It's like something smaller, but basically you're just kind of slow retrieving it. Usually you'll see a wake come up behind the bait, and then when you see that, a lot of times you want to do is you want to do a direction change, so you'll change the direction of the bait. You'll just kind of move your rod tip so the bait swims a different way, and usually that'll kind of cause a reaction strike. But a lot of times you go into the figure eight, you want to dip that bait down in the water and kind of move it a little bit faster when it comes by. But topwater fishing for muskies is definitely the most exciting because they just hit it like nothing else. Yeah,
that's got to be fun.
Stu, we got to stop having young kids that know a lot more than we do. It kind of makes us look foolish. Well, Nico, anyway, as far as metro fishing and that whole genre, is this something you want to pursue down in the future, or is this kind of a hobby, or is it a kind of just wait and see if it blows up kind of thing?
Yeah, so as of right now, it's just kind of a hobby. What I really want to do is go into the DNR and work with the fisheries, mm-hmm. and so a major in environmental sciences in college is most likely what I want to pursue.
So you're going to go to Bemidji then, or what?
Bemidji's up there, but another one's Green Bay, because if I go to Green mm-hmm. Bay, I'll be able to swim there as well.
Ooh.
Yeah, you can, yep. You can do them both, boy. But I don't know if you want to be called a beaver, Bemidji's a wonderful, wonderful place to go. You know, talking about the metro stuff, one of our best friends is Adam Griffith, and he and his buddies got Matt Johnson, I think, is involved with it. They've got a television show. It's YouTube, I guess you want to call it, called Crappie Chronicles. And they pretty much swear that they can catch bigger crappies within 30 miles or 40 miles of the Twin Cities than any place else in the state of Minnesota. And I've seen a lot of Adam stuff, and I had a chance to fish with him, and that's the truth, man. They know what they're doing. So you must be able to – you're learning all of this. Can you catch 17-inch crappies in the metropolitan area?
Oh, for sure. No doubt. Yeah. The metro is definitely like one of the most hidden gems for any species. You know, people definitely overlook it. They think you have to go up north or down south to catch big fish. That's just not the case. Yeah.
What a thrill for you. Okay, well, what's on your bucket list now? Let's say you're only 16. I'll tell you you're 16 years old, maybe 17 right about now. But if you love muskie fishing as well as anything out there, you must have a part-time job because that gear is not inexpensive.
It is not cheap, yeah. So for a while, I was working out at Gander Outdoors or a Camping World. I worked in the fishing department there, but they just recently got rid of all their fishing stuff. So I kind of left there, and I'm looking, hopefully, I don't know, work somewhere like Joe's or Cabela's soon. But, yeah, no, that stuff is not cheap, I'll tell you.
Yeah, Mark, I think Mark bought a – didn't you buy a muskie rod, Mark?
Yeah, I went to Muskie Fest. I used to promote it.
Yeah, we did a show there.
I'm going to get stuff. So I bought a bunch of stuff, and I've never gotten it wet once. I have small children, and muskie fishing is not conducive to that. But anyway, I am interested in muskie fishing. We talk about it all the time. My buddy Travis Frank says he's going to take me soon. So I know that there's, without giving away your secret locations, you know, I know Minnetonka has quite a few, Waconia, Bald Eagle. Is there any other metro lakes that are known or to hold decent-sized muskies?
Yeah, I mean, most of the places I fish around in the metro are already pretty heavily pressured, so I don't really care.
Right.
I fish a lot for muskies on Lake Harriet right in Minneapolis. That's actually where I pulled my biggest one, a 46-inch, out of there last fall.
Isn't that fun?
So I fish Waconia a lot. I do a lot of fishing out there. I fish this other lake way up north kind of by Delano. It's called Lake Rebecca. It's not really known by many people that it has muskies, but it's very, like...
It is now.
Heavily protected by the DNR for the muskies. Mm-hmm. So that's a good lake. Otherwise, Tonka, Bald Eagle is good. Yeah, there's Cedar Lake down by Faribault, that area. That's really good, too, and French Lake. Yeah, there's a lot of lakes around, yeah.
All right, we talked about a bucket
list. Bank Roy River, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Talked about bucket list. Let's say you had one big chance to go one place to catch fish. What would it be? Where would you go?
It would definitely be Lake of the Woods to catch muskies. That place is like nothing else for muskie. It's definitely like a dreamland to go muskie fishing there.
Boy, you know, they talk about walleyes all the time up there. I've never heard them talking much about muskies.
I like it that's obtainable, right? It's not like, I want to go to Costa Rica and catch a peacock bass. It's like, get your butt in a car and get up there. Yeah, take care of that one.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Nick, this is Nick Lisinski. His YouTube channel is Metro Fishing, and we're going to check into this stuff every once in a while. We'll stay in touch with you as well. If you wouldn't mind, we'd like to rack your brain, and anytime you got a story you want to share, something interesting, we'd love to have you back on the air. But Nick Lisinski, Metro Fishing, thanks for being on the 4 Outdoorsman, buddy. And what's that?
It says Nico. Not you said
Nico. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Oh,
yeah.
Nico. Nico. Nicola. Anyway, thanks, young man. Keep fishing. Keep swimming. I'm going to follow your career, pal. Keep going. I'm excited for you.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks
all right,
for
take
having
it.
Me.
You bet, buddy. I said Nick. I apologize. Nico.
That's
Nico
okay.
Lisinski. Yeah, but that's...
It might be short for Nicholas. Just
can you picture...
Career.
I tell you, I went out when I was in college. I went out with a girl named Missy Spence, and she was a national record holder in the 100-meter butterfly or something as a swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
And as a freshman, when she was there and as a sophomore, she's up every morning. She's in the pool from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock every morning, 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
and then going to school and then working part-time and all this. You got these are special young kids, boy. So all kinds of credit for those guys. What's going on this week, Mark? Anything else that's new? How the Packers do?
Oh, man, the Packers got smoked. They look terrible. Vikings lost, too. It's not a good week for
That's okay.
sports. What are you going to do?
Nothing. He had a chance to Brad Clark belongs to St. Jude's of the Lake, that have the same church that I belong to. And
Brad Clark is the sales manager here at Bob Country.
Yeah, and so I did emceed the Corn Fest, their annual big Corn Fest fundraiser last night, and boy, they had a lot of people. That was a lot of fun. It was a beautiful night. Lancaster was beautiful weather, and the music is good, but we've done some good things. My wife and I took my favorite 17-year-old granddaughter to Saints game a couple of days ago and Dinah golfed in a tournament this week. We've got a lot of things happening. It's been a real, real busy week, so I'm looking forward to taking a couple of days off and let my tummy heal, and we're going to go to the cabin Monday or Tuesday and spend 3 or 4 days down there, I think.
So last weekend we were at Lancaster and they had a really cool thing to commemorate 9/11.
Oh, that was neat, yeah.
Why don't you talk about, we have 3 minutes or so, why don't you talk a little bit about that and then a quick blurb on where you were when it happened and how
Felt. 9/11. Anyway, so the Lancaster summer extravaganza, when you pull into this thing in Winsted, again, there's 140 ice fish houses there, campers. There people are sleeping in, they're camping and they're fishing and those kind of things. And as you pull up to the entrance to all of this land, picture 100 of these big, beautiful fish houses, all of them with American flags flying 20 feet up in the air, and the wind was blowing. It was eerie. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was because it was just beautiful, but it was eerie. And then at 10:30 in the morning, yesterday morning, everyone stopped doing what they're doing, and one of the guys who was there all the time, regular, I guess, his wife played taps, and it was just a pretty emotional thing. It was beautiful. I'm sure you can find it. As a matter of fact, I'll post it because they sent me the – I'll post that. You'll post it, Mark.
Yeah.
But he sent me the video of that, and we'll post it for you guys. But anyway, so 911, I was at a wedding in Bozeman, Montana. I was the best man in my Bob Krejci, a friend of ours, wedding in Bozeman, Montana, and we're on the golf course, Diana and I. And Bob had already gone back to Florida with his new wife. And I get a phone call from Bob. He says, "What hole are you on?" "I don't know, 11? "You better play 36, he says. "You're not going home." That's where I was when 911 hit. Yeah,
that was crazy to think it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. But it's scary, and you just got to keep plugging along. But
Don't forget.
Can't do that.
All right, well, that's it. That's our show for this week.
Well, is that how you finish this thing?
Yeah.
Hey, thanks to Mason Rudolph and Nico Lisinski, Metro Fishing, for being on the 4-Outdoorsman. Thanks to all of our sponsors. We mention them all the time, and without you guys, we're nothing. Thanks to you listeners. In the meantime, have a great, safe week, and Mark's got some advice for you.
Get outside and make some memories.